This is an ABC podcast.
They're taking cherubim pots strewn strategically along the daily. Charter boys are tying paternosters in preparation for the fray. Tinnies are being towed to target on the Arnhem Highway. Over in Gove, they're rigging up teasers for the big boys. There's an air of anxious optimism at harbourside boat ramps as launch time looms. And in the front bar of a top-end pub...
What are you doing, man?
Just running the numbers on the tinny's use of the word mullet over the last financial year. The ABC bigwigs are on our case.
They're not going to clamp down on us, are they? I mean, frequent and liberal use of the word mullet is our right, not to mention probably half our bloody content. What kind of numbers are we looking at?
Well, let's see. 2021-22, we said mullets 637 times. It's only 15 times per show on average. Like, what's the problem?
I mean, that's nothing. Why don't you tell them to get a mullet up then?
More beard.
Make it 638 times while you're at it.
Get your bums in the boat and get on with it.
G'day, fishos, and welcome to the tinny with Tim and Beard again. I think I've worked out why Andy actually isn't here. He says it's because of work, Beard, but if we crunch some facts, are you freezing at the moment?
Well, I was, but it's getting better.
How hard are you working to find fishos who've actually been fishing, let alone done all right?
Well, I was working hard, but that's also getting better.
Are you seeing white caps on the blue?
Was getting better.
And there's the point. For if the fishing's crap, Andy can't delicately, strategically and craftily extract intel from the tinny listener from the church in order to enact it. But moments later, as he does, he's biding his time. He's expected back next week, isn't he? And look at the transition in the quality of fishing we're experiencing over the last 2 weeks he's been away. He's going to come back in perfect time to everybody talking about barra and blue and bloody tarpon.
Ready to capitalise.
Ready to take advantage for his own use.
Yeah.
And by the looks of the forecast, that might actually be sooner rather than later in terms of the transition to the weather. Did you hear about the niod this week?
The niod?
Do you seriously live lying down on your kayak with a rock on top of you? Under a rock on your kayak. That would actually be a happy place.
I'd happily live on the kayak.
It's the big news of the week. The negative Indian Ocean dipole.
Nobody calls it the NIOD.
We do. You love an acronym. Nah. You love a TUFS PUSFS.
I love TUFS PUSFS, but Andy's he's an acronym guy. You know that.
There's a high chance of getting to the 50 mil, which is the indicator of how early the wet's coming on. By early October, maybe even late September this year, according to Moses Rako at the Bureau. You know what great work Moses does.
We love Moses.
So they're looking at La Nina forming for a third straight year, but it's actually the negative Indian Ocean dipole that's more likely to influence rainfall in northern Australia. They're saying could bring bigger wet and the monsoon forward to sometime early December, which we haven't seen in many a year.
How are we feeling about that?
We're feeling delighted.
Yeah.
We're feeling like from now on in August, we need to keep a very bloody close eye on the negative Indian Ocean dipole and its fluctuations.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
The NIOD. Keep an eye on the NIOD. Fishers, on the tinny this week, man catches dry season juggernaut. But was it a case of another tourist being in the top end for 5 minutes, first cast, first barra, only to wonder what all the fuss was about?
It better bloody well not be.
You'll hear about a man so in love with the relationship between the moon's gravitational pull on the Earth and the Earth's rotational force that he tattoos it on himself.
Is that actually about fishing?
Oh, yeah.
At all?
Of course it is.
Better bloody well be.
And this, quote, "It was so big its legs wrapped around my entire ribcage."
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Is that actually about a sci-fi horror movie of some sort?
No.
Is it about aliens at all?
Not at all.
God damn it. Just for a moment, I thought somehow you'd found a random tangential link between fishing the top end and a man being eaten alive by an arachnid-type mutant creature from another planet.
I do like making such links, and we'll take that on notice as a challenge.
You better bloody well, mate.
Tales from the Tinny with Tim and Beard.
Just being out on the water, it's like this sense of freedom.
Need some sort of reliability on the back of the boat always.
Obviously results in a bit of filleting.
Get out there and get amongst it.
Tales from the Tinny.
Tim, I'm just going to lay this out here now. This next fella, you caught a 128 barra.
A 128?
Mm.
You know that's only 2 centimetres off a 130.
Yeah.
Which, by extension, is almost a 150. Which is not that far off 2 metres.
It's not.
Please don't tell me it's some dude from Vico or SA who's gone on a charter having never caught a fish before and then has turned around and wondered, is this 128 any good?
It's a worthy concern, but I can 100% guarantee that it's not that. The opposite, very much the local, very much not on a charter.
Good, because that was on top of my concern list.
Good. Yeah, no. This fella actually really seems to know what he's doing.
Actually know what he's doing?
Of course he does.
Territorian.
Mm.
Caught fish before.
Mm. Synonymous with barra fishing, actually, because he is Shanus Compainus. Hey, Shane.
Hey, lads. How you going?
Oh, I'm good. 128? What?
Yeah, unreal, eh? And I'm not a tourist that come up and it's not their first fish. How often does that happen, eh? Yeah, unbelievable, boys, eh? So pumped. As you know, that's generally, I just target that, try and, well, I want a 130. 130's been my dream to try and they're just so hard to come by. Like, the percentages and odds of coming across one that size and actually landing it, yeah, it's, what was it, 9 years since I got a 124, so.
Wow.
Shane, I mean, obviously, because you have to, you play it close to your chest, I'm presuming this wasn't just like 2 days ago. This was at some point in the not too distant past.
It was this year. It definitely was this year. As you know, with sounders now and the active target and that sort of stuff, technology, I've been chasing this fish in this same location. I got a crack at him. I got a sniff of him or her last year and pulled the hooks in the first jump. And yeah, same spot, same tides.
Probably,
same phase, same time of year.
Sounds like same fish, mate. A battle between one man and one beast. Is that a Moby Dick-like parable?
I think it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been tormenting me. Don't worry. The hours, the time, the sleepless nights. Oh, don't worry. I fell to my hands and knees and cried like a little girl when I lost her last year. So.
And the reason I wanted to clarify when, mate, is that we don't want to give people the impression this is a 128 nailed in the biggest cold snap in living memory in the middle of the dry, do we?
No. It was just after the comps, so that was the end of May.
Take us to the moment.
I was fishing with one of my good mates, Russell Hanton. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, so I'm a big believer in nighttime. The bigger fish generally do let their guard down. I don't know if it's visibility, nighttime, they're more aggressive. So a few factors, but it was the top of the tide and I was like, right, Russell, we're going to go to this spot and see. I literally said, see if we can get one of these big 130s. And we went there and it was pretty cool because like it was a rock bar. Okay, there's another tip. And we come up to it and there was a big fish on one side and I was like, oh, there's a good one. And we snuck up on it and did the first cast, but I was too close to it. And actually when the lure landed, it spooked the fish. She shot over towards a tree and then I had a second cast and I hooked the end of the tree. Obviously it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I can't really see. And I'm looking at a screen and I'm like, oh, I went over to the snag and I jigged got the lure off. And as I've done that, I've like looked down at the screen and then that I'm pretty sure it was the same fish. It did look bigger. And it's come in the screen and I'm drifting with the current and the fish is swimming against it. So she was coming at the boat really quick and I literally did like a 3 meter lob cast in front of the boat. Lure landed. The fish paused. I let it sink down, slowly wound it. Started whining and then the fish just kicked and went whoop, and kicked straight towards me and I'm like, she's on it, she's on it, she's and at this time it went out of the screen, so I couldn't see it. I'm like, oh, and then I heard my lure, my knot come through the tip of my rod, and it was like, dunk, and then it just went warp at the boat, and then I'm like, light it up, and you can imagine that size fish at your rod tip. It, she jumped, hit the Minn Kota, exploded, white water, head torches on. But she did everything, like she could have easily just gone back into the trees or gone over the rock bar and pinged me off, but she just come out and it's funny, that big, they go hard, but they don't go as hard as you'd think they would. I think because they're so big and, head coming out. I'm just, we'll put it this way, Russell stuck the net in my rod twice during the fight. I'm like yelling at him. I'm like, what are you doing, Russell? Like, I'm like, I'm telling him to calm down and I'm the one fighting the thing.
Wow.
We'll hand around the boat. I went a few times and then got big runs and jumps and then she went in the net. But because it's nighttime, you don't really get a gauge of the size of the fish until it's kind of like on the deck. And then you're actually measuring it and that sort of stuff and then trying to hold the thing. And then it's just in the boat, get it all sorted, flat out back in the water. I'm just a big believer in looking after the fish. So you kind of don't realize until it's all done. And I remember I got home and I asked my partner, woke up, and I'm like, I got a 128. And she's like, what?
And, I mean, the great thing is at the moment we're talking to you from – it's kind of appropriate because you're at a trade show, a tackle trade show. So talking about bling in the, you'd have to say, be it, it's the rightful home of all things bling in the Gold Coast.
Oh, yes.
It's really the right place for a bling show.
Yeah.
At the House of Bling in the Gold Coast. But you must have the video or the images, the stills just rotating behind your stand in slow motion. Probably one of the best sells you can do for your wares, mate. You know, does this lure do any good? Well, just look at the screen behind me, goddammit. It's a 128 at night.
I'll direct your attention to the screen.
I won't say much, just look at the photo.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent timing for the bragging, right, Shane?
It has been, yes, definitely.
Hey, moving on, mate, to the rest of, what's happening on the Blue and the Barra front up north. Not the right time for Barra, obviously. Yeah, is there any optimism about this slight warming of the weather?
Barra's still got to eat, man. They're still got to eat. So the dry season does play effect, definitely. But they're still got to eat. The billabongs are always, I've always said, and always have fished a lot of the nighttime or your daytime in your billabongs. I don't know. They just seem to fire up a bit more on the billabongs. But you definitely got all the options and obviously all the tourists are here at the moment. So the blue water's been in these gaps in the weather, which happened to line up over the long weekends, which is a miracle because normally it's the other way around. It's blowing, it's glass out when you're at work and then it's blowing on the long weekends. But so we've had good weather and good gaps. And I know the blue water's been sensational. Our charter boat's been catching plenty of fish and everything's full noise, eh? Darwin's a busy place at the moment.
It'd be remiss of me not to sort of ask this, but you're having caught a 128 and actually living in this strange world where you have to delay the emotional gratification for months, you know, you must be like, you know, you got to keep it tight to your chest and then release it, you know, 3 months later. Anyway,
it was hard. It was hard. A few of my mates were pretty cut. They're like, you didn't tell me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm like, I just...
This is how it is. No, what I want to know is, like, what does this do to all your other basic meteries? Like, does that, you know, like, how does, is a metery still a metery for you, or is it?
Oh, 100%. A metery still a metery. I'm still going towards that 100 meteries. I think I'm in the early 90s now.
Oh.
I've got to do a back count, so I'm getting there. But I got a crack at a fish the same size. I still believe it was bigger. That one that went through the net probably 3 years ago. And then that made me drink a bowl of rum and then...
I recall it. Oh, yes.
Knocked myself out pretty early.
Things got quite messy.
So that was the last chance. And then before that was down the Daly probably 10 years ago. And then the last time I put a fish in the boat of that size was my mate Jimmy's 127. We got it at Tommy Cut probably like 16 years ago. So they're a rarity and... I know how rare they are and I know how many casts it takes and I know how many hours it takes and you get that chance, but 99% of the time they're big for a reason and they'll spit you, do you in the tree, they'll punch through your net like But this time to actually put it in the boat, get it back in the water, get that photo, and do it in the territory, because I was thinking at one stage that I had to go to Queensland or something to get one of these, or Western Australia, get one of these bigger fish, but they're here. They're here. You just got to put the time and effort in.
Couldn't have deserved it more, mate, because if there's one thing you've done, it's put in the time and effort, mate. So congratulations on your PB. What an absolute ripper. And thanks for sharing the yarn with us, fella. Have a great time down the Goldie.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah, g'day. It's Coity here from Broome over in the Kimberley, West Australia. Recently got a fishing-inspired love heart tattoo. Yeah, it's got a big, bright red love heart with a ribbon on the bottom that says Neeps.
What is it about the Neeps that you find so attractive?
There's a certain seductive movement of a slow rolling tide. All the best fishing and diving I do here in Broome revolves around the Neeps, because we get such huge tides that, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, good Neeps coming up, like wind's looking good and everyone's out. So yeah, dates are put in the calendar well and truly ahead of schedule so that there's no conflicting calendar events. So I thought I would mark the occasion permanently on my body.
It has a love heart on it. I mean, this suggesting that this is more than mere infatuation, that it's perhaps a romantic sort of love.
It did feature in my wedding vows.
What?
Yeah, neap tides and easterly glass offs. I had to try and convince my missus that I loved her more than that. So yeah, it's still up for debate.
Oh, your partner's perhaps threatened by this attachment to neap tides?
A little bit, yeah. She got a seat out on the new boat last Neeps, and yeah, she seemed to enjoy it quite a lot. She sort of outfished me once again, so I think she's going to be trying to sort of weasel her way in there and get between me and my neap tides dates.
Has she suggested that it perhaps should be her name on the love heart instead of a tide?
It has come up. She actually was pretty supportive of it. But, yeah, there's a few people around town that sort of don't know about the tides, backpackers, etc., that ask me if Neeps is my partner. And if Jess is around, she sort of like gives it a bit of a laugh and says, yes, could well be.
Is your partner wary of going away during the Neeps for fear of, you know, her partner might become wayward in his monogamy?
Yeah, it's actually probably trying to keep me home during Neeps is more the thing. So, yeah, bit bigger boat now. She might, there might be a few overnight sleepovers out with the Neeps, I'd say.
It begs the question, can one have a relationship with a tide and maintain a healthy, normal relationship with one's partner at the same time?
I'll let you know. See how it goes. It's still young.
Coit, surely the spring tides have something to offer, perhaps for your other shoulder.
Certain places that fish better on the springs, like some spots up the river, which is a bit easier. So there's a place for it.
What happens when fishos notice your tattoo?
Yeah, I've heard a few guys sort of just give an approving sort of nod if they're in the know. Yeah, I've had someone at the fishing club sort of just like bail me up and like, is that like Neeps is in the tides? And it's like, yeah. He's like, oh, that's f***ing awesome, man. So, but yeah, there's a few people that sort of ask him like, what's Neeps? It's like, it's a tide. Don't worry about it.
When are you next going to have a chance to go and make sweet love to the next Neeps?
Actually got a weekend away with the Neeps next weekend. The missus is coming though, so might be a little menage a trois out on the boat. Looking forward to it, you know, exploring my love of the Neeps with the other love of my life. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And with any luck, your partner grows to love the neeps as much as you, and that will be a very healthy relationship for all of you.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as she doesn't get in the way of it.
How the hell did you just make neep tides erotic? Like, how did you actually do that?
What can you say? The man likes his tide.
It was part of his wedding vows.
Yeah, I know. He got in touch because he'd actually heard about Errol and his own sexy neeps experiences. Remember that?
Yeah.
While his partner was away. And in Errol, I feel like he found a brother, a compatriot, a compadre.
But what happens if, for example, he has to move to a place for work, like Mandurah in WA, where it's basically neep all the time, every day, no tidal influence?
Well,
then the relationship is going to get stale. It's going to be the same thing every day. And like so many before him, he'll have to get the tat seared off with a laser to replace it with a new love, the springs. Ever so rare and desired springs, because it is so rare, because it's the forbidden fruit.
He won't do that. He loves neeps too much. He just won't.
And look, you both very successfully drew a comparison between an erotic love and a tidal window. I don't think it's that big a jump now to draw the link between the arachnid mutant alien from another planet and fishing itself.
Fishos, the pics of that tattoo are on FaceAche. And if you've got a fishing tat you reckon beats it, we want it. I want to know about that.
We do want it.
I think that's pretty good.
That would be a fun game.
This could be a whole other tinny spin-off show, you know, the search for the best fishing tat.
You can send it into fishing@abc.net.au, which is the email address, or flick it to us via tinny Facebook, ABC Tales from the Tinny on FaceAche.
Bit of a sad one to kick it off this week, Tim. NT fishing guide Dwayne from DNA, he recently had a major accident with a faulty firework.
I did hear about that. He was not well.
No, he's lost his left eye. He's had extensive forehead damage, and he was actually put into an induced coma for 3 weeks.
Far out.
He's out of that now, but the guy's got a long road ahead with long recovery and a pretty big strain on the family, including some big medical bills. So some other Darwin fishers have started a GoFundMe page to help out.
Good on them.
You head to GoFundMe and search for raise funds for Dwayno's medical bills if you want to chip in. There is going to be an event too on the 20th of August coming up as well.
And best of luck with the recovery, mate. Ahoy from Chris. Hi, Tinny boys. Looks like the Poms beat us. Supposedly it's now legal, he says. And he's sent in a pic of a truck towing a caravan, towing a car, towing another caravan. Somewhere in the UK, of all places. And supposedly legal? Yeah, I don't know. If you want to take two cars and two vans, that's your prerogative.
Look, the combinations are almost endless. Like, mathematically speaking, like, you could have a caravan towing a caravan towing a caravan if you want.
And ahoy from Gaz in Albury, one of the original TFT t-shirts, beard, sort of. He loves the shirt so much, which I reckon was released around 06, 07.
Yeah.
With the very, very, very amusing, witty and original pun on the front, show us your tackle.
Oh,
and you see what we did there?
Yeah.
Now really that creative back in those.
It really is humour circa 2007, isn't it?
It is.
We've come so far.
But no, we haven't. but Gaz loved it so much, he's cut the logo out and put it third T-shirt in a row. He's taken it down to the local seamstress, put it on the next shirt. Our shirt's clapped out, cut it out, put it on the next one. How cool is that?
You know, I've always wanted to do that. But it's essentially, this is the opposite of when you would get a hole in a T-shirt and you mend something over it. You get another piece of material. Mm. This is the opposite of that. This is you cutting the bit out and then bringing in a whole other T-shirt around
and putting it behind.
To build around the logo. Anyway, it's excellent work.
You can't stop the TFT T-shirt. Meanwhile, colder than my mother-in-law down here, complains Gaz. And Gaz, we just don't entertain it anymore, man, because look at apparent temperature. -2 where you are, when your blood is thicker than custard, is not as cold as 8 degrees in the top end when your blood is as thick as water. Wouldn't you agree?
It's kind of like the feels like thing. The feels like temperature is different, relative to where you are. So for us, look, 8 degrees, that feels like minus 20.
Gaz, imagine having to wear trousers.
They go all the way to the bottom of your leg. Like they hit your shoe. They hit your shoe,
they
Gaz.
Go past your knee and it's a pant with a material that hits your shoe, Gaz. How do you walk in that? Like we're bipedal animals. We're not meant to be constrained from the knee down. The whole joint is evolved for us to walk.
It's not natural at all.
We have to wear a goddamn trouser, Gaz.
They're almost on the ground. Like, Hoy from Mully, the shark fisher in Darwin, just says this. Finally got our first tigers last night.
Oh, good on them. This is the mob who's been chasing them off the jetties, hey?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, he was like, well, the tigers will come in with colder water a bit closer. It looks like they have. He sent a pic of a tiger that was a couple of metres long. Reward for effort, I guess.
Congrats, boys. And from Paris, my mate Greg's first ever barra after 4 Darwin trips, after being busted off only an hour earlier, he landed this 87 beard in the Finnis, but had committed to nuding up if he got one, because he wanted a photo for his 50th birthday party on the weekend. And
Sounds reasonable.
What better way than to, you know, nude up and show, what better way to show that you've still got it?
Yeah, there is no better way.
The whole crew apparently was very delighted, relieved, I should say, that the barrow was big enough to cover the appendage. You'd hope so at 87.
More than big enough. Yeah. Wow.
No, it's something, some sort of science fiction freak of nature going on there. This isn't that story about covering the rip.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Shoot it. Share it. Shout it.
Give us a hoy.
Hello, I'm Hiro. It's a dry season near Mindere Beach, Funny Bay, East Point should be the best condition. Water condition is too clean, but even if very windy days, Mindere Beach, Funny Bay, East Point, very calm. Nowadays, this water very clean. That's good. For Darwin City people, no smells. Before 2012, people smells toilet, but now nothing, very clean. But Barramundi, maybe they need a little bit dirty water. If possible, Darwin government need consider about too clean water. Probably. Maybe. So
you want the government to intervene on how clean the water is?
We have a horseless course. My idea, maybe horses to pull go to the sea. Horses, not so many in Darwin. Maybe good idea. Horses, horses to pull go to water. Maybe so many mullet coming back to this water again. Many barramundi coming back.
Horse poo goes in the water, the mullet come back and the barrett want the mullet. Look, I can't fault it. You find it harder to convince barrett to jump on the lure when the water's super clean?
Still no problem for lure fishing. Clean water give us more fun. Because it's like you can have sight fishing, more exciting.
If you go down to, say, Mindle Beach and the water's super, super clear, what kind of lure will you be considering?
Actually, small lure is better for barramundi, 70 milli to 90 milli. color, because shallow water, any color is okay. But maybe green one, white one, little bit better than other color. But color doesn't matter because very shallow water here. For example, Mindel Beach, 1,000 rocks under the water. So even very clean water, barramundi can have many hiding spot. No problem at all. But problem, absolute number of barramundi reduced very much now.
We've talked about this before, about how you were thinking that perhaps the number of oyster rocks had deteriorated over years and that had affected the barramundi numbers.
We had a very nice wet season last December and the beginning of this year. Then the number of rock oyster is increasing now, but still not much food around here for barramundi. Especially, we don't see any big school of mullet.
You never seem to go up to the likes of Buffalo Creek. Why is that?
Buffalo Creek, still a good point, but I have to walk more than 30 minutes. For me, I'm 62 years old. Maybe I will die.
One thing I've been wanting to ask you for a while is because you fish in quite shallow water sometimes, I mean down to almost, 20, 30 centimeters water depth.
Cannot be helped here. I cannot access to the deeper place.
What would you suggest for people wanting to fish in shallow water, how to work their lure effectively so as not to get snagged?
Maybe for beginner, maybe better not stopping winding, otherwise snagging. But still okay. Even high-speed winding, still okay.
Constant retrieve, that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
For shallow water. Yeah, very shallow water.
The temperatures of recent weeks have gone down a fair bit. In other sort of waterways, the temperature really affects the willingness of the barra to strike. Do you find that along Mindel Beach, Fanny Bay, East Point, the water temperature affects your fishing?
Actually, not so big problem, temperature. Maybe yesterday, very hot day, but today, very cold day. It's not so good for barramundi fishing, but 2 days ago, very cold day, and yesterday, very cold day, today, very cold day, no problem.
The sudden drop in temperature that they react to.
Yeah, because in June, in July, and in August, I have caught many nice-sized barramundi around here, even in cold water.
Hiro, one thing I've been asking a few people lately, going back to that sort of basic question about why people fish in the first place. What is it about it for you? What keeps you doing it?
I like barramundi fishing. I don't want to fish bream. Anybody can understand when he or she caught barramundi, even any size, first time, they will love barramundi fishing because barramundi's attack power to lure, so nice.
Thanks for catching up again, Hiro.
Thank you so much.
Get a mullet up, ya. Go on. You've been dying to try. And there's no time like the present. Tales from the Tinny.
Let me ask you something. What is a decent sized crab in your book?
Well, the standard measure has always been, which is just remarkable and hilarious, that legality is, you know, an exact beer can across the carapace.
Yeah.
Let's guess that it would have been the 1960s in the territory when the guys at fisheries were going, oh, we should probably start regulating the size of the muddy. What are we?
What have we got around here?
Pick a number. What do we got here? Barry, just give us that can, would you? That's about right, fellas. But so if that's the measure, oh look, I've always said a pretty big one is anything a bit bigger than that.
Are you talking against the carapace?
Yeah,
or
I'm
against
talking
the
across
claw?
Carapace.
Oh, okay.
Oh, claw size, large lollipop.
Yeah.
You know, full mouthful.
And better yet, if the claw is capable of holding the can.
That's a big crab.
That's a big crab. Yeah, yeah. I asked you this, though, because I talked to Sean Stanley this week. He hit Bino over the long weekend, and he came across something, well, you don't see it every day.
Yeah, mate. We, four families, went and camped at Keswick Point for the long weekend. They were pretty good tides to do some crabbing, so put some crab pots in up at this creek over near Indian Island there, and I suppose we had, 16 pots between four boats, and yeah, set them out, and it was a bit of a joint effort, this crab. I put the pot in, my young fella threw it in and set it, and another boat, his name's Justin, and a young fella called Hamish pulled it, because they were close proximity to the pod, and when they pulled it, there was a huge yahoo going down the creek. So the other three boats made it up, and this thing was an absolute stonker. It was probably, it took up the whole of the pot, and everyone's taking photos of it. We measured it, and it measured 21 centimetres across the carapace. Biggest crab I've ever seen in my life.
What? 21 centimetres across the carapace? Put that against you. How big is it? Just, you know, give us some more context.
Well, the actual claw was bigger than my hand. I think there's a photo on social media. The actual claw was bigger than my hand, and its actual legs were wrapping around both sides of my rib cage. So it was an absolute stonk of crab. I reckon it would have weighed everything of 2.75 kilos. It's, yeah, just a cracker. All the campers in Keswick were coming over and having a look and all the rest of it. And it's the biggest crab I've seen. And I've been in the territory 32 years. And in my job as water police, our duties were to go through all the commercial crabbers and check their catch for commercially suitable crabs, and been through hundreds and hundreds of crates, thousands of crabs, and you see plenty of, you know, 16s and 17s and 18 centimetre crabs, which are a good buck in their own right, but this just dwarfed it. As I said, mate, it's the biggest crab I've seen. The boys got online to see what the record was in the territory, and it doesn't have too much information there, but they reckon that they grow anywhere to 28 centimetres and 3 kilos, but yeah, I've never seen one bigger than this. We probably got 20 crabs over 3 days between four boats. We only pulled them once a day, but there was not one undersized. They're all, you know, 14, 15, 16 centimetres. So, but when this one came out, it was just, Jesus Christ, how big is that?
Did you get the lollipop on that one?
No, the kids ate it, mate, that night. So they had a good feed. We'll eat them all weekend. It was a bloody good weekend, actually. Nice and relaxing up there in the hill at Keswick. We didn't do any fishing. We just hang around the campfire and bloody enjoy the long weekend. I think it's the last weekend of the year. So, yeah, no, it was good, mate. Just sat around, talked story around the fire. It was all good.
Legs wrapping around rib cage.
I know.
Isn't that incredible?
I know.
What was he using for bait? Just chicken, I suppose, or some fish?
Yeah, no, I was hoping he would say something different.
Some big secret revealed for the alien crabs.
Exactly.
It was chicken.
It was just chicken.
That wasn't his pet, was it, that he'd fed up at home? You know, raised and nurturing it, three meals a day, little crabby napkin, some cutlery, and then finishing off with the all-important protein shake?
Little crabby napkin. I did ask him that. Not exactly that.
Of course you did.
No. This was totally legit.
The pics on Faceache Fishos, if you want to see it, probably doesn't quite do justice to it, but very much a, you know, that's not a crab, this is a crab kind of situation. An absolute horse.
Yeah, g'day. Name's Mick. Went for a fish on the weekend into the harbour, me and a mate. Not expecting much. Cold water, dry season, usual story. Just wanted to get on the water and have a bit of fun. And as expected, a very dead afternoon. Best barrow we caught was around 20 centimetres, I would say. Not much happening. And then about an hour or so after the low tide, we were right up a creek, not a lot of water, and we'd sort of wedged ourselves across a bit of a drain, and mate and I were just sort of flicking, and then we got a big whack on the side of the boat, and we were just looking around, didn't know what it was, and then there was another one, and then we saw what was going on, and it was just tarpon. There just happened to be tarpon everywhere, and then next minute the call went out and they all started going, flying through the air, hitting us, landing in the boat, landing in the net, flapping around on the bottom of the boat. We didn't know what was going on.
Look at this. This is a sea of tarpon just jumping into our boat here.
Within 30 seconds to a minute, we had a boat full of tarpon. It was completely unexpected and just one of those things, a random event.
At least we caught fish. It wasn't done,
we didn't initially think it was barra. I'd actually thought I'd seen a barra roll over earlier. There might be barra there. But then once we realised it was tarpon, a bit disappointing. But anyway, it was entertaining to say the least.
Doesn't happen every day.
No. You certainly know where the fish are, Mick.
We've certainly contemplated what the fish were thinking. And clearly there was no leadership in the water on that day. You know, there was no leaders and no head coach in the school that sort of wanted to calm them all down. The word got around and they all just started going nuts, like a mass suicide mission. If you've caught enough tarpon, then you know it's not good fishing. If you're new to fishing, it's kind of cool, but once you've caught enough tarpon, it's like, it's quite annoying. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got all of them out, but I can't be 100% sure. There could be one under the floor, and I'll soon find out when I go and check the boat out.
And I just want to confirm that I did actually receive a text from Mick afterwards. It was a photo. You probably can't see that, he says, but it's a 72-hour-old dead tarpon under the cast deck.
Oh, he didn't find that one when he was cleaning the boat?
Look, it had to happen. Smelt really great, he said. Vomit emoji.
I bet.
He didn't say vomit emoji.
Yeah. I might start to doing that now.
Just say
yeah.
Smiley emoji.
Yeah, smiley emoji with shades on, happy face.
I know, but
emoji.
That's going to get hard for some of the more subtle emojis.
No, it's not. I can just write it out.
Downcast expression emoji.
You're bemused and a bit annoyed with a finger up emoji. You can make up your own a lot easier, can't you?
Yeah.
Did you send that to Andy by chance? I hope you didn't, you know, being the tarpon fancier he is.
No, I didn't. And exactly for that reason, for fear of basically certain instant trouser urination.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need that. I mean, who needs that?
As Mick said himself, it's quite annoying.
Catching tarpon.
No, wearing your trousers.
Oh,
both. As is writing the emoji, actually, Mick's quote, it's quite annoying, applies to all three.
Quite neatly. Thank you, Mick. Vomit emoji.
With shades on.
When are they going to make a poo emoji with shades on?
Yeah. Well, you just write it.
That's a big monster.
Not much finessing. Get into it.
Double hookups always great fun when they start running around each other and getting lines intertwined.
Next minute, you've got like a half hour fight trying to get your sinker back.
If you think you can do better, have a crack.
Tales from the Tinny.
Hi, my name is Salim. I'm from Taiwan. I've been in Darwin around 7 years.
Salim, just come down to Stokes Hill Wharf. You guys are dropping baits. What's happening?
We just get a few little trevally and a little shark. Yeah, and we're just waiting for the fish coming. Probably stay here a while because my partner, he won't try to get some squid. So we probably stay here until night time.
So you're chasing squid. Have you been getting many?
The last night we did get a lot, but it depends.
Yeah, are you using a net or are you using catch jigs?
Catch a net.
Yeah, nice.
Yes.
Oh, well, she's on.
No, nothing.
No, go on.
Still there?
Oh, false alarm.
Maybe.
Still there?
Maybe.
Come back.
How many rods are you guys running?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yeah. 5. That's enough.
For two people, that's not many.
How long have you been coming fishing at Stokes Hill for?
How many years? I'm not really fishing in my country, but just when I'm in Darwin, so probably 4 or 5 years. Yes.
What made you start fishing in Darwin?
For farm and get some jui, trevally, fighting with fish. That's really good in Darwin.
Have you guys gotten juis here before?
Yes, just here, little one.
Yeah.
And we do on the boat, you can get big one.
Is it your husband, KK?
Yes.
Yeah, your husband, he was reluctant to talk to me, but he's just ambled over now. KK. Oh, no, he's run away again. No worries. No worries, he's all good. He's got to put some more squid on.
I learned fishing from him.
You learn fishing from KK?
Yes, that's true.
And while he's gone, is he very good?
For fishing?
Yeah.
I think I'm better than him. I catch more than him.
It's a beautiful thing, having a shared passion. I think it's actually rarer than you think to have that. What do you think about that?
Yes, it's quite nice.
And if you guys didn't have fishing in Darwin, what would you do?
I've always stayed at home and he played again and I do online shopping a lot.
You'd online shop and he'd be a gamer.
Yes.
All right, well, I think you've made the right decision.
Yes. I stay here. We need to do something with fish and you leave your phone away. Yeah.
And you said you've caught some trevally here before?
Kind of a big one.
How big?
How big? The big one.
Maybe over 80.
Over 80.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
If low tide here, I don't know how to say, it's really high, and you're hard to get your roof, fish up.
You know what else is hard right now? Getting a car park at Stokes Hill Wharf.
Yeah, that's true, because of the new things that are here.
The Ferris wheel?
Yes, they probably take around more 30 car parks away. So, yeah.
So you have to get here early enough?
Yes, definitely. Well,
you guys have got the prime position in the corner here. What time did you get here?
Around 3, I think. Yeah, 3 o'clock. We normally come here, for now, because dry season, tourism coming as well. So we normally here around 3 o'clock to get the car park.
Thanks, Heath, for talking to me, Celine. Best of luck on your 5 rods. getting some squid, and maybe a Trevor or two, and you never know, maybe a Dewey.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
See
ya.
Thanks for nothing, KK. Yeah,
thank you.
I heard you there, KK. I heard you pipe up when asked what the biggest Trevor was. Well played, Beard. You sucked him in. No keen fisho, even if petrified of the microphone, can help themselves when that question comes up. He just had to pipe in, didn't he? I heard him.
Yeah, good on those guys. Staying off the online shopping and the gaming and spending it together fishing with 5 rods. If that's not love, I don't know what is.
What about fishing a big, sexy, neat tide?
Okay, yeah, that's love.
What about catching a 128 barra?
Also love.
Catching a mudzilla crab with a 21-centimetre carapace?
Love. All love, 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 love. So much love this week.
There is so much love on the tinny.
Well, that's it for us for another week, fishos. Thanks to Shane Compain, Hiro Nakamura. Thanks to Sean Stanley, Mick the Tarpon Whisperer, Gianluca and Cecile and KK.
Final thanks go to old Coity over in Broome, who's limbering up as we speak for a hot rendezvous with the neap tides. Yeah, things probably going to get a bit orcs with his actual partner.
I think she's going to be trying to sort of weasel her way in there and get between me and my neap tides. There might be a few overnight sleepovers out with the neeps, I'd say. Maybe, if she gets an invite.
Have a good week, fishos, and, well, you know what to do.
Grandmother Abia. Is that right?
Listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.